Hi, welcome back to Cycling Talk Podcast with me, Georgia Mahoney. Today, I am joined by Thomas Gloge. Thomas recently joined Jumbo Visma, and it was amazing to hear his cycling life story so far. I really look forward to seeing what he does in the future for his team. Thanks so much for joining me today, Thomas.
Cheers, thank you for having me on. It's a real pleasure.
What's your first memory of being on a bike?
Good question. My first real memory was when I started down at Herne Hill Velodrome. Basically, it was a way for my parents to have cheap childcare in the holidays. I think it was £5 for 5 hours. I was probably about 8 years old when I started down there in the holidays just for fun, really riding with friends. And that's really my first big memory of the bike.
What's the first bike you remember being really excited about?
Another great question. It was probably my Isla Bike track bike. It was really the first time that I got a bike that was a bit more racy and not so used for recreational stuff, which was, well, I mean, I'm still young, but it was more of a racy bike. So yeah, the Isla Bike, I got a 26-inch wheel Isla Bike track bike when I was about 10 years old. That's the first one that I was really, really excited about.
Who did you ride with when you were younger and what sort of riding were you doing?
So I started on the track down at Herne Hill with mostly other guys from the local club, Velo Club Londres, VCL, who at the time were Fred Wright, Ethan Hayter, his brother Leo, and Jacob Vaughan, who just won the Gravel National Champs. Who else? Finley Newmark, who's now a very good photographer. Baru, who's just riding around the world. So a real nice mixture of younger guys who, yeah, came up through the same kind of age as me and the same system riding the track.
So I know you've been racing since a young age. What do you remember about your first race?
I remember it was a cross race and I was very slow. Those are the two things that I remember. I think I came second last. I was on a Decathlon mountain bike. I came second last to someone who probably had a mechanical and got lapped by everyone. That was my first memory of a race. There's like a cyclocross track around the outside of Herne Hill. Although if we were 10 years old, I doubt we even went on to the past the grass in a track. But yeah, very humbling experience for probably a big-headed 10-year-old.
You've been racing at Herne Hill on the track league since you were under 12. What do you remember about your first years racing there and the people that you met and how you progressed?
I just remember a lot. Within the kind of core group of riders at VCL, we're all very competitive with each other, which is fun. It made for some interesting racing, but I absolutely hated losing to Finley and Oscar and Leo, who are the kind of three guys closest to my age, which is annoying because I normally lost to them. That's what I remember. I remember a really good competitive rivalry and really good, basically, just going onto the track every day and battering each other on the bikes. My clearest memories of back then.
Do you remember the first time that you raced in indoor velodrome and how it felt?
I think the first time that I raced in an indoor velodrome was the Icebreaker Series, which I don't know if you're familiar with, in Newport under 12, which was, yeah, definitely an experience. I think it's particularly quite a daunting prospect for someone. I was really quite small and it was really good fun, but it's a different speed. I think on the outdoor velodrome with wider bankings and concrete was just familiar to me, so a different surface, but also, yeah, I remember it just being a lot faster and closer together, and also the noise that a track bike makes on the indoor velodrome kind of echoes everywhere. So yeah, very different experience, but I remember also being a really hard race, but good fun.
By your second year as a Cat B or under 14 rider, you were doing lots of road racing as well as on the track. What can you tell me about your first Youth Isle of Man tour in 2015?
I don't remember specifics, but like it was we always had a good time out there because a lot of guys, it was quite easy to fly in from London. So we'd get a lot of guys from a local club come over and we'd all have a nice pizza in the Italian restaurants most nights. And it was a very kind of tight-knit community. So I remember that being a specific aspect of it, as well as the climb. So it's always the second day. I still think it, I don't know if you still have the prologue along the promenade, and then the second day is kind of a lap with a hill on it, which I think it's still the same now. And I remember that being bloody hard. It was not, as when you're an under 14, that was the hilliest race that I'd ever done. And a really, really good fun. It's quite rare to race on closed roads, and that was a very different experience.
Later that year, you also competed in the Northwest Youth Tour. What was that experience like?
Good question. It's always quite a carnage race, I think, up north. That's a distinct memory that I have from back then. They're quite tight circuits, and I remember it being quite a nervous race with quite a few crashes. So I was probably thankful to get through it, losing relatively little skin, to be honest. That's from what I can remember. But yeah, that's a while ago, I think. Seven years ago, I think. So it's been a bit of time.
It seems like you were doing a lot of racing at the time. Were you doing any other sports as well as cycling?
When I was a bit younger, I did. I think it was when I was kind of year 7, year 8. I did some running for the school. Also played some rugby, very unsuccessfully. And a little bit of racket sports, squash, and other things like that. But I think by the time I was about 14, so probably coming to the end of under 14s, I was just really just cycling. I mean, I do a few other things for fun, but it was really riding the bike most of the time.
How did you find fitting all your racing in around school and homework?
Very hard, very hard. I never really mastered it, to be honest. During GCSEs, I broke my collarbone just before in a national race in France, 2-day stage race with the Southeast team. And I remember I had 7 or 8 weeks of no riding the bike. Maybe I did two turbo sessions in 8 weeks over the GCSE period just to focus on GCSEs. And to be honest, I was very lucky. It's bad to, in bad taste to say that, but COVID was a blessing in disguise for me, really, because my A levels got cancelled. So that gave me a lot of time to ride the bike, because otherwise, over exams, I really struggled to ride the bike and do exams at the same time.
As a Cathay in 2016, you again did the Isle of Man Youth Tour along with a big calendar of racing. Were you doing a lot more training and how had it changed as you were getting older?
Yeah, I mean, the first until I turned junior, my approach to cycling and training was all kind of, well, second year changed a little bit because of the I don't know what it's called now. It used to be called the Great British Cycling Team Apprenticeship Program, I think. I was on that as a second year under 16, but really it was a lot of riding down on the track, not much structured training. I think but when I was a second year under 16, maybe I'd do a structured turbo session a week, but potentially two. But a lot of the times it was really just riding down at the velodrome, doing a lot of chain gangs and basically just a lot of track sessions, which were really good fun because you're just racing your mates and trying to beat them. And then maybe a club run on a Sunday, which is the same thing but on the road. So yeah, I think that my before under 16, really, it was just kind of doing whatever I wanted. Maybe a turbo session here or there, but a lot out on the road and on the track.
You did the Youth Isle of Man tour for a third year in a row, and then as the year went on, you started producing some really strong results and was able to finish fourth overall in the under 16 boys at the Northwest Youth Tour. Do you remember much about this event and how did you feel about that result?
Yeah, that for me, that was probably the strongest ride of the year. I remember being good. It was kind of the hillier circuit where you go up the hill, down, basically doing laps of it. And yeah, I remember having good legs, basically going from the start. And then four of us got away, and I kind of screwed it up at the end and ran out of gas. I did too much early on. And yeah, really good memories, really, really fun. I really enjoyed that, particularly that year was good fun. We were in a hotel with a lot of other riders from the club, and yeah, I really enjoyed it.
At the end of 2017, you took part in the Future Stars races at the first round of the Revolution Track Series. How did it feel to be a part of this event?
Really cool. We had in our pen as well, we had Cameron Meyer and Cameron Meyer, I think is Callum Scotson, the two very, very good Australian riders. I think Cameron Meyer just actually joined British Cycling as the head of women's performance, I want to say. So yeah, very, very cool. They know what they're doing, which was, yeah, very nice to have as a little under 16, to see those guys ride. And he's a Cameron Meyer as well, particularly very, very strong rider. And the way he rides a track bike is very different to how other guys ride it. A lot like Ethan, actually, very aggressive. So yeah, no, it was really, really cool to ride with those guys. Right next, obviously you're not riding with them, but watching them race and having them in the pen next to you was really cool. And it's a shame that actually that isn't around now, because that was really fun.
In early 2018, you did some races as a junior in Belgium. Was this the first time you'd raced outside of the UK?
I've done Aspen Youth Tour quite a few times before, which was always a really fun event. I don't know if you guys have done it actually. A lot of Brits do it. It's really quite a good one. Just because it's really a good laugh. It's 6 days of racing, and so I've kind of done that, but that's more of a fun event. And juniors is a different kind of level, so it was my first time really doing like a properly competitive race there.
Did you find it different to the racing in the UK?
Yeah, very different. Yeah, I think so. It's funny actually. I think the racing when you're younger in the UK is actually a lot more similar to what the continent's like when you get older. It's a very when you're younger, very aggressive racing, attacking, racing from the front. So actually, it was similar to in a, I want to say no, because now racing in the UK is very different to racing abroad. But actually, back then it was probably very similar in a weird kind of way. I think the bunches obviously are a bit bigger, and there's a few things that are a little bit different, but really, you get rewarded for attacking, which in the UK was always kind of the case as well.
You competed in both the Junior Tour of the Mendips and the Junior Tour of Wales. How did you find these races and the step up to junior level?
So, firstly, two absolutely lovely races, stunning scenery. Mendips that year really was quite special when we went over Cheddar Gorge, and yeah, really, really cool part of the world. And Tour of Wales too is very, very special. Two really fun races to do, and really. It's nice to go to different parts of the UK and really explore them a little bit, especially because I've got some family in the Mendips, which was good fun. And in terms of the step up to juniors, it was actually, for me, it was actually pretty okay because the racing suits me a little bit more. I go better generally when it's a little bit hillier, and when you're a bit younger in the circuit races, they tend to be quite flat, and the junior racing is a little bit more hilly and a bit longer, which I think suits me again a little bit better too. So it was obviously different, but I think it suited me a little bit more.
You were doing a lot less track by the time you got to junior. At that time, did you then prefer racing on the road?
To be honest, I was always pretty rubbish on the track. I don't really have a sprint, which is a shame, because that's kind of what you need to win a track race. So I have a rubbish standing start. So yeah, I mean, I always enjoyed racing as a youth because it was something a bit different. But when you're a junior, there's so many options to race on the road. And that was kind of naturally what I was better at. So it's what I tended to race. And yeah, I didn't really race the track after under 16.
I'm sure all of that sort of training on the track as a youth definitely helped when you moved up to junior on the road.
Definitely. And I think it, for me, it just really kept me involved in the sport, because I'm not. And even now, I'd still much rather ride with someone than train by myself. So it gave me a chance to go and ride with other people, which I really enjoy. So yeah, it's really, really cool, and it teaches you a good bunch of skills and all this stuff. And I still enjoy racing the track. I'm just unfortunately not very good at it. So.
At the start of 2019, you did junior Kerner Brussels Kerner and finished eighth. What do you remember about the race?
I remember. I actually, it's a funny video. Right at the start of the race, we rolled off, and the neutral car had its automatic sensors on, and it stopped straight away, and the whole peloton went into the back of the car. That's how I remember that race starting, which was very, very weird. I've not had that before. And then yeah, I was off the front the whole race, which was really nice. And obviously, I didn't quite have the legs at the end because I'd been out front so long, and guys were kind of bridging across. But yeah, it was a really, really fun race and a good way to start my year.
You were getting some great results, both in the UK and internationally ahead of Contich in July. You finished third overall, with fourth in the team time trial and third in stage two. Can you tell me about the races and how you felt about that result?
Yeah, it was, well, so I had, obviously, for me, eighth at Kerner Brussels Kerner was a nice result. But then between then and kind of May, I really struggled. I had a crash, and yeah, I was feeling really down about riding a bike actually, because I was just going like absolute rubbish. So, and to be honest, it's never fun when you're really getting beaten on a bike when you're not competitive. It's still something that I need to work, probably need to work on a little bit too, actually, is being able to really kind of persevere through and keep focused in harder times. And yeah, I had basically a really rubbish period between March and kind of the end of May, and then had a bit of kind of good month in June, and then we came into Contich, and that was a really nice race. We had a really cool really cool team with a Southeast team with John Barkley. And it was funny because as juniors, we all just raced each other. We never really worked as a team. So we came second, third, fourth, fifth, and didn't win, which is very classic of juniors. We got beaten by a big Estonian who was, yeah, just absolute monster. But was a fun race. And yeah, I remember it being really nice because I'd had a pretty rubbish few months. So it was good. Was really nice to be up there again, and it always feels better after you've come through some. For me personally, after you've really struggled through something to get a result, that always feels that bit sweeter. So, yeah, it wasn't a win, but third overall was as good as I could do.
Tell me about winning stage two of the Junior Tour of Wales that year.
Yeah, so actually, the day before was a time trial, and I was came off the start ramp and a bus pulled out on me. And I learned a very valuable lesson that day, which is don't turn around in a time trial. So I rolled off the start line, the bus came out, and I was stuck behind this bus. And I was like, bloody hell, head went, why am I behind the bus? I went back to the start line because everyone had seen the bus pull out on me, and they wouldn't give me a restart, and my clock was still ticking. So I lost 10 minutes, I think, in the time trial on the first day,
Oh my God.
which is, that just happens. And it actually is a very, a lot more important than the result that day was learning just to keep your head in the race. I think, if I'd finished that time trial without pulling behind the bus, I would have won the race overall. So, you learn, and that was a lot more important than the result. Don't get me wrong, I would have loved to have won Tour of Wales overall, but really, even at this stage, is the lessons that you learn through the races are a lot more important than the results themselves, I think. Although it is really nice to do well, don't get me wrong. So I'd completely screwed up the first day, felt like an absolute idiot. And then the second day, I was like, okay, got nothing to lose. I'm just going to go for it. So, as I just went from the gun, I had some good legs, got in the breakaway, sat on the breakaway because we had Oscar, Nilsson, Julien in yellow, and Leo in second. And we had 4 minutes on the group, so they weren't coming back. And then, yeah, I managed to get the win because I'd sandbagged all day and done nothing really. So, yeah, it was really, really fun. But it's funny, you take the lessons actually. It's weird because the day before had been as bad as it could have gone, and then the day after was as good as it could have gone. So, really contrasting days.
Yeah, great comeback after the first aid.
Yeah, still, I still had about 10, 8 minutes to make up. So, not quite good enough, but it was good fun.
The start of 2020, you joined Trinity Racing. Can you tell me about how you became part of that team?
Yeah, so. I was speaking a little bit about how I was struggling in April, May, June of that year, and I've always enjoyed riding a bike, but I never really considered that I could do it as a career, because I ride for my local club, which is, all through that time, which was great, but I was never even the best rider a kilometer from my house my age. Leo Hayter, Finney Newmark, Oscar Nilsson, Julien were all better junior riders than me, so confidence wise I always struggled a little bit because I was always getting beaten. So yeah, I kind of planned on going to university. I applied to Durham for maths and statistics and got an unconditional offer. So I was kind of set on going there and riding for a British domestic team because I still wanted to ride a bike, and that was really good fun. And then obviously I had Contich. I came third, and what really changed was when I went to Spain and I won a race, which was the first time I really won a race properly. And I think I won 6 out of 8 races, 4 races in a row, something like that in Spain that year. So I had quite a bit of success there, and I had interest from a Spanish team, and then Trinity came along, luckily, very, very luckily, because of the people I know again at the track. Leo and Ethan at the time were represented by the agent who runs Trinity, and that's how they got in touch. And yeah, I'm very, very fortunate to know those two, and that's how I ended up riding for them.
Unfortunately, you didn't get to do much racing with the team for a while because of COVID. Tell me about your 2020 and how COVID affected your training and racing for the first half of the season.
Yeah, well, I think I'm probably the outlier in the COVID as a whole was great for me, because I would have had to do A levels, which I didn't have to do, and I could actually train on my bike, which was fantastic. And yeah, luckily the A levels went okay somehow, and yeah, I could basically start look up be a full-time bike rider from March instead of the end of the year. So it really meant that actually I could race that year. I wasn't planning on racing at all as the first year, not properly anyway. So yeah, it was really a blessing in disguise. And I'm super fortunate to have had the chance to really, everyone was pretty burnt out by the time COVID came, but I was fresh because I was doing school. So really from when COVID hit the racing, I only missed a few training days and I really stuck with it and got a plan. And luckily I got racing some cool races that year and I got like a nice introduction into first year under 23, which was really nice.
I've actually had a lot of guests that have said that they got some good things out of COVID. I think it definitely helped riders to have more free time to sort of do school stuff and train without having to worry about like racing or anything like that.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting when you're faced with a circumstance like that, that no one is unprecedented. No one has faced a pandemic on that level where everything is locked down. So, yeah, that's really bizarre because you either embrace a situation and take the positives with that, or it overwhelmed you. And obviously, it's an extremely hard situation, and everyone's kind of in the same boat. But at the same time, that seems to open up opportunity. Oh, obviously for me, circumstances, I was massively lucky. Let's be honest, it wasn't me taking the initiative or anything. I just got a set of fortunate circumstances. But for sure, I think in every situation like that, you can either really win out of it or it can be a massive loser. And I think the mentality that you take into that, for sure, especially as a bike rider, if you can get some solid training in, really can change your season. And you saw that in 2020 with really the different set. There was some races where guys were really doing better and other guys were really doing worse. And yeah, it's funny to see how everyone, in the sense that it's kind of weird to see how everyone, and nice, unique to see how everyone approach different scenarios.
It was great to have racing back later that year. You went to Italy with the team to race in the under 23 Giro d'Italia. Tell me about being selected and what it was like to travel out to Italy.
Yeah, so. Yeah, well, this is probably not what you mean, but the travel there was, I had some horrendous travel that year, and that was one of them. I was actually based at the time, I was racing for a Spanish team, and I'd been there for a month and I'd raced a little bit, but I'd been training in the north part of Spain, and I had to get myself to Madrid, and then I had two flights from Madrid, and I had an overnight bus. In my everlasting intelligence, I decided the easiest way for me to do it was an overnight bus, which I got on and was absolutely packed. And I didn't know this, but they stop every bloody 2 hours or something for like a half an hour break because they can't drive for that long. And they keep the lights on full blast the whole time. So I didn't get a single minute sleep about 3 days before the Davis Giro started, which was, yeah, and just absolutely not ideal. But it was, yeah, just it was really all a blur because up until this point, I'd really been a club rider. Like I go to the race either with my dad in the UK or with John Barclay in Belgium. And I'm sure you've had guys on in the past talk about John Barclay in the Southeast team a little bit. He's someone who, from the Southeast part of England, he's really integral to guys getting opportunities abroad. But it was not like a team really. You'd show up with your bike, you'd have some lunch with you, and then you'd go and race, which is fantastic, but it was quite overwhelming my first, in a good way, because you have to, at some point you have to do it. But I have for the first time ever a Swanee, a mechanic, a camper van, and these are simple things, but really it changes. It's quite a lot of information to digest. It's actually something I'm going through again now. I've joined a bigger team again. You're working with more staff and different vehicles, and yeah, that was a really big change. I remember for that baby Giro, even moving race hotel and stuff like that was completely different to me. And yeah, it was really, really cool. And yeah, something that I won't forget is how much information there was. I was just so far behind the curve. I had no idea what I was doing, basically. Still don't, but a lot less.
You were riding strongly for the team with your teammate Tom Pidcock in the leader's jersey. You ended up with some good results for yourself as well, firstly with a fourth place in stage seven. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I mean, Pidcock was so good that race, he could have won it with one leg. So, it was weird to, not weird, it was fantastic to ride with a guy. It was really funny because he was like the best rider in the world, knew exactly what he was doing, and I was like, had no idea what I was doing at all. Was totally useless. For example, like we only had three riders at that point, and I'd pace on the most of the climb, and I'd get to the top of the climb, and I was such a useless descender that He either gets us on the climb and pick, he wouldn't ride behind me. He'd ride the descent and then I'd ride the climb because I was so bad on the descent. Which was, yeah, intro. My heart rate was actually higher on the descent than the climb. So, yeah, we kind of, I was absolutely useless, but I was getting through it. He was helping me and, you know, I wasn't causing too much carnage. I was an absolute chopper. So, you know, I was taking, I got better as it went on. And then, yeah, we had stage seven, which was a kind of like a big mountain. And for me, that's pretty simple. And you kind of ride until you can't ride anymore. And that suited me pretty well because tactically, I had no idea what I was doing. I think I lost like 11 minutes on the flat and maybe 5 minutes in total on the mountain. So, yeah, I kind of went into the climb first and Pidcock coaxed me through it. And somehow I ended up in fourth and not too many guys passed me, which was nice. But yeah, it was, I remember just being absolutely out of my depth that whole race. That's the one memory that sticks out.
You must have been really happy to come away with second in the youth classification and seventh in the mountains classification.
Yeah, I mean, I was just happy to be racing. To be honest, I didn't even think I'd finish. So the fact that I even got onto the start line of that race, that, you know, if COVID had happened, I wouldn't have been there. And then to somehow finish and actually not be slapped around the whole time. I was slapped around most of the time, but not the whole time. It was really nice. So yeah, it was a really, really cool experience.
You also got to race Ronda de Lizard with the team and got two more top 10 stage results. How did it feel getting some great results after such a difficult year with COVID?
Yeah, I think the whole, for me, well, I think it was difficult for most people, but for me, it had been a really nice year, actually. And yeah, actually, between Izard and the Baby Giro, I raced a 4-day race in Valencia with the Spanish team, too. So yeah, I had a lot of racing, and by Izard, I was pretty cooked. I was okay the first few days and then really went backwards. But no, it was really, really fun. And again, very different places to race, Spain, France, Italy. So I was lucky to get these experiences racing in different places and seeing the different styles of racing and the roads and all this, which was perfect, exactly what I really wanted out of my first year.
Can you tell me a bit more about that Spanish team that you were riding for?
Yeah, so they're cool. They have a pro continental team called Caja Rural, who've been around since the late 90s, early 2000s, kind of a staple of Pamplona, which is a region just below the Basque Country called Navarra, where also Movistar are from, and another pro continental team, Kern Pharma. And I was riding for their development team because I had raced out in Spain the year before and caught the eye of them. And when COVID hit, Trinity weren't sure that they were even going to stay a team. It was their first year in existence. So they said to me, okay, you still ride for us if we have some races, but we can ride for two teams at once because we weren't continental at the time. So yeah, I was really fortunate to go out and ride for them for the year and see some Spanish races. I lived in a house in Spain for 3.5 months with three or four Colombians, an Ecuadorian, a Venezuelan, which was super cool. I got to speak some better Spanish and really learn about their cultures and basically train with professional bike riders for 3 months, which was really, really nice.
And you started 2021 by spending some time in Colombia. Can you tell me about this trip?
Yeah, so it really stemmed off the back of that. I was living next door to a guy called Brian Chavez, who is the brother of Esteban Chavez. And basically, me and a friend went to Gran Canaria before Christmas because it's very, very cheap there and great weather to train. And then, obviously, as we now know, London went into tier four lockdown, which is where I live. So basically, I was like, screw this, I'm not going home for Christmas. I stayed in Gran Canaria. And then at that point, there was all travel banned out of the UK. And I decided I didn't want to get stuck in the UK, but also didn't want to stay in Gran Canaria. So I phoned up Brian and said, Brian, please, can I come and stay at your house? And he said, okay. So yeah, I went to Colombia and was actually out there for nearly 3 months, which is really, really cool. Riding with him and his brother Esteban, who's obviously an incredibly accomplished rider, and him and his family are some of the most generous people I've ever met. And it was a really humbling experience, incredible to be surrounded by the Colombian community and their way of life and cycling, which was, yeah, incredible. And yeah, I'm really, really thankful that I've had the chance to go out there and experience that.
So, road racing was a lot more normal in 2021, and you started your season with Circuit de Wallonie, followed by Tour d'Elloa, before heading out to Italy. How did you feel about your early part of the season and how it went for you?
So, yeah, as previously mentioned, I was in Colombia and then traveled over to Europe to start these races, and yeah, I got an absolute kicking, which was cool. Not cool at the time, but cool to look back on and laugh at, really, just because, yeah, was straight in at the deep end again. I've always struggled more on the flat, and they were flatter races, and yeah, was like a baptism of fire again. Was, still really learning the ropes, and it was really good to get the engine turning for the baby Giro the month after, but those races themselves, I was struggling in.
So you mentioned doing a second baby Giro and you had some amazing results, including three top 10 finishes. You again finished second in the youth classification and this time third in the mountains and an amazing fourth in the GC. Can you tell me about the race and how you felt about those results?
Yeah, Ayuso was a different class that year. He was just a better rider. There were three of us who were all really close together. And who second through fourth, Tobias Johannessen, Andre van der Veer, and myself. And yeah, it was kind of a race between the three of us within the GC race. And I just couldn't get the better of him in the end, which was a shame. Would have liked to have been on the podium, but that's how it goes. And yeah, it was really fun. And I made a big step up from the year before physically, but also in terms of how comfortable I was in the bunch and the things that go around being a GC rider. So yeah, it was really, really nice. And we made a big step forward year on year. And I think the team as well was really cool because obviously we had Ben Turner on the team, who's had a really, really good year this year and is very experienced and knows exactly what he's doing, a very tactically astute rider. And also Ben Healy as well, who's a great breakaway rider and again can read a race very well. So learning off those two the year after was really, really cool and moved me on again as a bike rider, hopefully. But yeah, well, that was fun.
And then in August, you did the Tour de l'Avenir with three top five finishes, including two third places. How did it feel to represent GB for the first time?
Yeah, that was really cool. The GB program is always something that I've always loved to be a part of, but it's never really suited to me as a rider. So to get into Race Lavenir is a really special experience for me, because they are more track focused rather than road. So yeah, it was really, really fun and a really cool experience. I had good legs, but not my best. And yeah, it was really, really cool. And it's such a special race. It's really intense. It's raced at a different intensity to other races in terms of the bunch and kind of the prestige around it. So yeah, it was really, really cool. And I think seeing a race like that as well, just it moves you on so much when you go and race other stuff, because if you can handle kind of the L'Avenir carnage, and it's always, guys crashing and all this stuff. So if you can kind of navigate your way through that, you put you in a lot better stead for other races too.
You then did your first tour of Britain with Trinity Racing. How did it feel to be a part of the biggest race on UK roads?
Yeah, really, really, really fun. The crowds are incredible, and it's a super special race to do as a British guy. Yeah, incredible, really, really, really fun, and it's really rare to race on closed roads in the UK, so it was nice to be able to do that.
I always love watching the racing. It's so cool to have it come down to my area in Devon and Cornwall last year as
Oh
well.
yeah. Yeah, it was actually I really enjoyed racing down there. It was a shame that the second day we went over Dartmoor National Park. It was a shame it didn't really kick off over there, and the breakaway actually won that day. And because I previously I was I don't know, I'm sure you know the area. I was down in Salcombe on holiday, so I got to ride a little bit around those lanes. And yeah, I thought, the Dartmoor National Park was super, especially when you're training, it's really quite a hard place and you can get massive crosswinds over the top. So yeah, I was really excited to get there. We kind of got there, and what happens a lot in these racing, and if the bigger teams just say, we're not racing there. So they block the road, and that's kind of it, which was a shame. I was really looking forward to giving it a good whack over the moors. But yeah, it's a really special place to ride a bike.
It was super hot that day as well. How did you find that?
Yeah, I'm actually relatively, for a pasty white Englishman, I'm relatively okay in the heat. I struggle more in the cold. So yeah, I think I was okay. But it wasn't super, super hard. So maybe if I'd been dropped, I'd be telling you a different story.
Your final international race of 2021 was Izard again. After finishing fourth in stage three, you took the win on stage four, and then ended up third in the GC overall. Can you tell me about your win in stage four?
Yeah, it was a really cool day. It was one of those days where everything goes right and I had the legs to finish off. And yeah, the team rode super well. All the standard things, really. It was just the perfect day on the bike. Some other guys had some bad luck, and the day after I had some bad luck and kind of screwed up winning the overall, which was a shame. But yeah, that's life. And it's always a fun race because it's super in October as well. In October in the Pyrenees, the weather's always crazy, so you always get some interesting racing, which is nice.
What happened in the final stage?
So I was in yellow, and we kind of it was a day of basically three mountains, and I got to the top of this first mountain. It was just me and this other guy who eventually won it, called Hychleneritsa, who actually rides for my current team as well, Jumbo Visma. And he attacked on this descent, and I'm not the most confident descender, so I was laying off his wheel a little bit. A few other guys caught me. He was about 10 seconds in front, and I came round a blind bend behind this group, and the car didn't. We were catching guys out of the breakaway, so they pulled the common third cars out behind, and the car didn't see me, and he just pulled straight out on me and put me in a ditch, which wasn't ideal. But I was okay. I got up and battled on, but I lost yellow that day, and slipped to third on GC, which is a shame, but that sometimes happens in bike racing. So yeah.
Were the final races of the year were the British National Champs. You finished ninth in the Under-23 TT and 28th in the road race. Were you happy with results and how the races went?
Yeah, to be honest, I was pretty cooked. So I was on my absolute last knees of riding. Right, it was middle of October, so pretty late in the year, and I didn't have much leg, so that was the best I could do. Yeah, which was not much. But no, it was really good fun because racing in the UK is always very different. So I always enjoy coming back and racing.
You didn't get to do too many races at the start of 2022, but you did finish third in Flèche Ardennaise in a sprint finish. How was the early part of the season for you?
Yeah, it was the start of this year has been the hardest in recent memory, well, ever. I think, it's for me, I learned, and it was great. It was great, ironically. It was really, really good because I got to tackle a lot of things that I'm really bad at. And when things go well, it's very easy to kind of skim over what you're not very good at. So the start of this year, I had a bike fit, and I injured my back, so I had 3 weeks off the bike. I had COVID, I had tonsillitis, I crashed and had 10 stitches in my knee. So I had a lot of things go on at the start of the year, which were rubbish. And obviously, at the time, it completely sucks. And, I was very moody, as you can imagine, very grumpy, which was hopefully I won't be so grumpy when I have bad luck again. But yeah, basically, I had a lot of things go wrong, which was the reason I didn't race. So yeah, that was bad, but also really good because it gives you a chance to learn how to overcome problems, how to fix things that maybe you hadn't looked at before, and things like that. So really, really useful actually. And then yeah, I had a good run of luck, and then I got third at Flèche Ardennaise, and then the day afterwards is when I crashed and had 10 stitches in my knee. So I was back to square one again. But yeah, I kind of built up. I had a month of good training in April, and then Flèche Ardennaise was a nice race for me.
In July, you did Aosta with another podium on stage three, as well as sixth place in stage five. This was followed by Tour Alsace, where you again got sixth in the team time trial and third in stage two. Were you happy with your results and how your riding was progressing?
Yeah, so I came off this basically until the end of May. I was absolutely rubbish. I had a load of problems, blah, 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 all those kind of excuses. And yeah, in June, I had a nice month of no problems. And then I came into July and I'd have one good day, one bad day, one good day, one bad day. So, for example, Alsace, I was third on the first stage and we had five of us had 2 minutes on the rest of the peloton. So that was GC over. And then the next day, I completely cracked and was absolutely nowhere. And then it didn't come up in the results, but the day after I was really good again. And then the day, well, not, I was good, not really good, but good. And then the day after that, I was rubbish. So kind of like up and down the whole time. And it was the same at Aosta too. I was good the last day in the third stage, and the rest of the stages, I wasn't good. I was either good or not good, like really not good at all. I was never kind of like meh. So yeah, it was kind of a process of coming back from illness and gaining some consistency and some race legs again, which in the past is different from what I'm used to, because I either normally in previously I'd go to a race and I was either good or not good. So it was a bit different for me to be so on and off day to day. But it was good to experience, and actually in hindsight was really good for me to do and to just deal day to day with taking one race day as it comes, whether it's good or bad, and moving on every day. And yeah, that was a really nice experience for me, actually. July was good.
A lot of races that you've done as a junior under 23 seem to be team time trials, but you don't really get them as a pro. Why do you think that is?
Good question. Because for the under 23s, I think they're always just like, we'll just give them crazy stages, whatever we want, you know? So, for example, that the Stavanger has two team time trials, and the first one was 4 minutes. You know, we're going over 60 kilometers an hour, which is just bonkers. You wouldn't give to a professional, because if you something goes wrong with 60 kilometers an hour, you've got problems, especially on a time trial bike. So, yeah, I think it's more because you can get away with giving crazier stages to under 23s who don't know any better and will just ride it. Whereas professionals, and rightly so, who have ridden a bike a lot more, know. And again, team time trials can be great stages, but they're very hard to do in tours because you have to do them very early on, as there are certain rules with riders. You know, if you lose five riders, you obviously it's very hard to do a team time trial. So you can't do it in a third or second week of a grand tour. And I think the shorter races probably make it easier to do it under 23 as well. And also, you can give them crazier courses, whereas it's quite hard to do a professional time trial, because when you're going 55, 60 kilometers an hour, the courses you can do are very, very different. You know, like the you can't do mega, mega tight bends the whole time. Well, you can, but everyone will be not just the riders, but also the spectacle. Everyone's like, that's not safe, you know. And I think rider safety is a growing concern. And it's not that the team time is an unsafe discipline. It's just if things go wrong in a team time trial, they go very wrong. Whereas, like in a road race or a time trial, it's a lot more savable. So I think that's maybe why.
After the Arctic Race of Norway, you headed back to Torzellavenir with Team GB. You finished in the top six four times, and in stage four, you took the win. Tell me about the race.
Yeah, I think Lavernier, up until that point, that was the best I've ever gone. Had a really nice start to the race. Everything went perfect. We had Sam Watson, who was going very, very well, and I was riding for him most days. I got a very lucky stage win on stage four, where everything kind of went right. And then, yeah, that was really, really nice. And then we hit the rest day, and I was just absolutely rubbish the next day. And it turns out I had COVID, which is a shame. But yeah, the first week of the race was really, really nice. And to wear the yellow jersey at a race like Lavender is pretty special.
Your final race with Trinity Racing, it was your second tour of Britain, which was sadly cut short. How did you feel knowing that it was your last race with the team, and how did the week go for you?
Yeah, it's the Tour of Britain is very love hate. I love doing it because it's in the UK, but it's a race I really struggle, and a lot of people struggle to get something out of, because it's very negative racing. The bigger teams control it. The UK roads, it's hard to race really aggressively in the UK because of the way the roads are built. It's different to I can't quite put my finger on it, but it doesn't lend itself to the most aggressive racing, or you know, really hilly stuff, which is what suits me a bit more. So yeah, it's always a fun race. I didn't have the best legs after COVID the week before, but I gave a few moves, which was nice. And it was I didn't know that was my last race at the time. I was planning to race with them at the end of the year. But yeah, it was a very weird way to finish, because that last day they sent us the wrong way as well at the end. So I had to climb over the barriers to get to the finish line that day, which was funny. I don't know if you remember, but the last corner came right. And so I went the wrong way, and everyone was like, what the hell's going on? So I actually, yeah, I ended my time with Trinity Racing climbing over a barrier to the finish line, which is unique. So yeah, that was a strange way to, and then we had no idea at the time that the Queen was, I hadn't heard nothing before. So obviously that was a very unfortunate event, and what happened afterwards is totally correct. But yeah, it was a strange way, to say the least, to end my time with Trinity, but probably quite fitting considering COVID and all those other things. But yeah, it's cool.
So you've now joined one of the biggest teams, Jumbo-Visma. Can you tell me about how that move happened?
Yeah, so it's kind of like everything within cycling, you know, it's a very small world and you end up racing each other and, you know, people talk and whatever, and conversation leads to another thing, and the next thing you know, you're pulling on the Yama Visma jersey. So yeah, I was just very, very lucky to be in the right place at the right time and speak to the right people, and for some reason or another they wanted me. So I jumped on the chance to ride for them, and yeah, it was really, really cool, and to be honest, I have no idea, but I'm bluffing my way and somehow I'm here, and I'll continue pretending I know what I'm doing. But yeah, it's very cool.
You've already done some races with the team, starting with Giro dell'Emilia, where you finished 17th. How did it feel to be a member of this massive team and race for the team?
Yeah, it was really cool, but I was super, super nervous, because yeah, new team, new people, and I'd never done a race at that level. There were 16 World Tour teams there, so I was really out of my depth. And yeah, I was so nervous. I just rode into a Trek guy. I lost my boa. I had to change my shoe mid-race. Yeah, I was super, super nervous, but it was really, really fun because, well, it was really special riding with those guys and on really, really cool roads. And yeah, getting to know the team obviously is super important because these are the guys you're going to be with for the next however many years, so three at least. So yeah, it was really special to be able to get a chance to ride with them sooner and learn from guys like Robert Hessing, who have been in the peloton for since 2007, I think he's been with Jumbo. So yeah, was a really, really unique and special opportunity, and I'm really grateful that I was able to race a few races.
I think it's really cool that you'll be racing against people that obviously you rode with when you were younger, but then they've also gone into the pro peloton as well.
Yeah, I mean, even at that rate, you know, Leo was also doing his first race for Ineos there, which is so funny because we bet, you know, he was barging me at one point, and I said, "What are you doing, Leo?" And he didn't recognize who I was, so that was funny. And yeah, it's a small world, you know, and it's always very special to be riding against those guys. And I'll definitely try. You always try your hardest, but you find a little bit extra when you're racing against people that you've been racing for your whole life, you know.
A couple of days later, you finished 12th in a bunch sprint in Tre Valley. Can you tell me about that race?
Yeah, so I think Emilia, I was obviously super nervous at, and it suited me because it was relatively, because it was hilly, but I struggle more on the really steep stuff because I'm someone who rides quite a high cadence on the climbs. If I can, I ride between 95, 100, sometimes even a little bit over. So yeah, Emilia was kind of laps of a 10% climb, which for me hurt, and pitches to 15% in places, so that's really quite hard for me. Whereas Trade Valley a few days later was a lot of climbing but a bit more shallow, so that suited me a little bit better, and I had some good legs. I attacked with mass with 10K to go, but it didn't really go anywhere. And then yeah, I still lacking a bit of confidence, and in the sprint I wasn't positioned very well, so 12th was all I could manage from that group out of, you know, 20 or whatever guys. But I think I'll get there with time, and it's very those finals, they are really hard into, and sometimes I get a bit intimidated with other, you know, riding with professional riders and how hard they really go into the finals. And under 23, it's more chaotic, kind of attacking and slowing rather than a consistent pace. But yeah, it was another really, really cool race and great experience.
Another bunch sprint to 12th in Grand Piedmont. How was that race?
Yeah, that was a weird race because it was meant to be, well, in theory, it was meant to be a bunch sprint for our serial winner Olav Koy, who's won 12 races this year, but it kind of went crazy on the climb and never came back together, and I found myself at the front of the race, which would have been great, but with 40K to go, someone rode into my derailleur and my gears were skipping all over the place. So the last 40K, I couldn't really shift gears or really push on the pedals, but I gave it a go in the which, you know, a flat sprint anyway, I was never not really my thing, but I gave it a go, and 12th again was all I could manage, which is a bit of a shame. But yeah, that was a race that didn't really go to plan for us, but it shows how you've got to be able to react to different situations.
So you must be so happy with how your first three races for Jumbo have gone. What are your plans for the winter and heading into the 2023 race season?
Yeah, it's going to be really a year of learning for me. It's a different level from what I'm used to, and working in such a big organization is very different from working in Trinity Racing. So, yeah, it's really going to be about learning the style of racing, how to interact with the team members, how to use the coaching staff correctly, nutrition, all of this stuff, and adjusting to equipment, etc. So, yeah, the plan is basically take every opportunity that comes my way and, race day by day and race by race and go as hard as I can, and hopefully I learn a lot, and that's the idea.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? What would you like to have achieved?
Fantastic question. Honestly, I have absolutely no idea. I'd quite like to be a professional bike rider. That would be good fun. But I think I'd really have liked to, over the next 5 years, really push my limits and find out what I'm capable of physically, mentally, and all that goes with it. So yeah, that's a very vague and pretty rubbish answer, but that's the truth. So yeah, that's what I'd like to do.
What's your favorite race that you've done so far?
My favorite race is it's probably the races in the Basque Country I've done so far. It's a really special region of the world, and they're really a good combination of physically hard racing and also very tactically fun. So yeah, I enjoy racing there a lot.
Is there a race that you would really like to do that you haven't done yet?
Well, it's a boring answer, but the Tour de France is obviously the race, road race to do. So that is the race, if one, that I would like to do that I haven't done.
Where's your favorite place to ride for fun?
When I'm training hard, I really like riding in Tenerife because, yeah, it's always good weather. They call it the, what do they call it? Good question. The Island of Eternal Spring, I think. And that's a good name because it's always 20 degrees, warm outside, not too much rain, and yeah, really hard climbs to go ride on. So when I'm training hard, Tenerife is my favorite place to ride a bike.
Who's your favorite current rider?
I probably have to say Esteban Chavez because, he's an absolute legend, and getting to know him in Colombia was a really special experience. And yeah, I'm a massive fanboy. So Esteban.
Who's your favorite rider of all time?
All time, probably Bradley Wiggins, simply because of what he's done for British cycling. And also, he grew up in loads of places, but he spent a lot of time at Hernal Velodrome, which is obviously where I was. So
What's your advice for young riders?
I don't know if young riders should necessarily listen to me, but you've got to enjoy what you do. So I think it's very easy in cycling to become focused on really specific detail-orientated stuff, when in reality, keeping an eye on the big picture at all times is important, because in a sport where you can be monitored 365 days, 24 hours a day, it's important not to lose sight of the bigger picture.
You've got 5 minutes before you head down to the start of a race. What's on your playlist to get you motivated?
Good question. It depends what the race is. Maybe if I'm nervous, probably a bit of lo-fi jazz, which is a bit of nothing with music. Maybe a bit of Tadao, which is like some kind of hippie kind of guitar chill music. If I'm kind of pretty tired, I like to go for some 90s rap of Return of a Gangster. Or if I'm really, really tired, I go for some trap remixes to have some absolute horrendously loud music plays in my ears to wake me up a little bit.
Thanks so much for sharing your cycling life story with me, Thomas.
Cheers. Thank you for having me on, Georgia. I really appreciate it.
I really hope you enjoyed listening. You can find all other episodes of my podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And a massive thank you to all of the companies and people that support and listen to my podcast. It means so much to me. If you're on social media, I am too. I'd love it if you'd give me a follow. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter and the GCN app. See you on the bike.